Well, welcome everyone to a very exciting online video event today called Is Archetypal Astrology the Rosetta Stone of the Human Psyche? Illuminating Your Depths and Navigating Our Times. My name is Stephen Dynan, and I'm really thrilled to host today's program with two of my heroes and real pioneers in the whole field of transformational thinking and transpersonal psychology. They both were people that inspired me to go to my graduate school, the California Institute of Integral Studies, and really helped open up a wider paradigm of possibilities for our personal development, but also for our collective work of shifting the world and evolving a more compassionate and spiritual view of human life on this planet. So their names are Stanislav Grof. I'm going to refer to him as Stan since I know him a little more familiarly, but he's an eminent psychologist. He was the chief of psychiatric research at the Maryland Psychiatric Research Center, did some of the groundbreaking work in studying psychedelics and their therapeutic effects. He's written many books like Psychology of the Future, LSD Psychotherapy, Beyond the Brain, The Cosmic Game, also founded the Holotropic Breathwork Training, which is something I trained in and is one of the most powerful methodologies for self-exploration and healing available. So he's a remarkable man who's had a huge influence, one of the founders of the field of transpersonal psychology and one of the true greats of our time. So thank you so much, Stan, for joining.
Thank you very much for having us. It's really very special opportunity. Rick and I have been teaching classes on the subject. We have done seminars all over the world, but this is really for the first time when we can address a large group, and we are very grateful for that.
Wonderful. Well, also with us, we have Dr. Richard Tarnas, who I'll call Rick through this call, and he is a remarkable man who's done some work at really looking at the broad sweep of human history. He wrote a book called The Passion of the Western Mind, which is one of the definitive works on the evolution of Western thought, and from ancient Greek to postmodern. And his second book, Cosmos and Psyche, received the Book of the Year Prize from the Scientific and Medical Network. He's a founding director at the Graduate Program of Philosophy, Cosmology, and Consciousness at CIS, California Institute of Integral Studies. Really broad, deep thinker and remarkable soul, is the past president of the International Transpersonal Association. So welcome, Rick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure to be working with Stan in this larger horizon of being able to reach an online audience in this way, because pretty much most of our work over the 30, 40 years we've been working together has been in person in smaller, you know, seminars and so forth. So this is a great opportunity.
Great. Well, I'm very excited for today's dialogue. You're going to be in for a real treat today. And I want to let everybody know up front that this isn't the end of the line, that we actually have the opportunity to go much deeper with these two eminent thinkers and pioneers in a course called Psyche and Cosmos. This will be the first time this, one of the most popular courses from the California Institute of Integral Studies, a really groundbreaking course. The first time we're going to be able to take it into an online universe here and really make it available. So we'll share a little bit more about that towards the end today. So archetypal astrology is the Rosetta Stone of the human psyche. This is a fascinating subject. I know both of you started off as astrological skeptics, and I think it'd be important since astrology tends to get a bad rap in the mainstream culture, particularly in academia, to share a little bit about your journey or your conversion story to why you started taking astrology seriously and really beginning to appreciate its predictive power and its therapeutic power even. So maybe start with Stan.
Okay, for me, the excitement came because it turned out to be an amazingly predictive tool. If I go back when LSD came into our life, initially, we had no idea what might happen. And so our choice of patients was such that we were using those who did not respond to any previous treatment, you know, very, very difficult cases. And it was important for us to have some idea as to how they would respond and what the outcome would be. And so we were looking for tools how to assess that. And, as it is common in academic circles, we were using a large battery of tests, including MMPI, thematic association test, Rorschach, the personal orientation test. And all these tests turn out to be essentially useless. And it was very clear why, because if you do retesting, you know, in a certain interval, in a month or two, the results tend to be generally the same. Whereas with psychedelics, it was very different. If you have a psychedelic session, LSD session today, and another one 2 weeks from now, it can be completely different. So the test didn't even have the versatility to parallel somehow what was happening in the sessions. And it was finally archetypal astrology that was the tool that was capable of doing it. But we were facing the problem that this was even more controversial than psychedelics themselves. And very fortunately, we found CIS, the California Institute of Integral Study, that studies that allowed us to combine those two controversial subjects. And actually, as it was mentioned before, it became very, very popular among students. There is a large group of people who are at CIS or who have been to CIS, who actually are very ardent followers of Rick's teachings.
Great. Well, Rick, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your journey, since you've in many ways committed. It's quite risky as a philosopher to have gone into this terrain, just same with Stan as a psychologist. And so, you know, obviously, it must have been very compelling what propelled you into this new terrain with astrology.
Yeah, it was very much the evidence that played the crucial role. At a certain point, you pretty much let go of what the public reputation is less important than the emerging cosmos that we were seeing and its immense usefulness to the kind of work we were doing. To just back up a little bit, when I came out of, I had heard a little bit about astrology. My first encounter with it was as an undergraduate still at Harvard. There was a professor there, a Jungian professor who was at the Divinity School, and he and I were friends. We had conversations about Freud and Jung and European ideas and so forth. And then he just one time said something about where my planets were in my birth chart, and I just thought this was quite beside the point. I thought our level of discussion had gone down radically to such a point. I wanted to urge us back to the high road, and so I just kind of ignored it and didn't really have any further thought about astrology until I came to Esalen Institute to work with Stan. I was working on my doctoral dissertation on LSD psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, and spiritual rebirth. And the issue that Stan is talking about there was a big one, which is, you know, people can have such radically different experiences using powerful sacred medicines, psychedelic substances, that it's nice to have something of a handle on what the response is going to be, how because one person can be in heaven and the other person in hell, and if you have a little bit of a sense of the weather report in advance, we always thought, boy, that would be great, but nothing seemed to be of any predictive value. And then at Esalen in Big Sur, there was such an openness to a wide range of traditions, East and West, shamanic, esoteric, and so forth. So we were taking in a lot of different practices and perspectives. And when we learned a bit about astrology, and then we learned how to be able to calculate our birth charts and what we call transits, where the planets are in the sky at any given time relative to where they were at our birth. And that's when the extraordinary correlation started opening up, and we then came to see that the archetypal principles that in some way seem to be connected to, in a kind of like cosmically associated with the planets, the specific planets, the sun and moon and so forth, that those movements of the planets seem to give us an indication of what archetypal potencies, what forces and principles would be activated, and at what time, and for individuals as well as on more the collective level at any given moment. And so this was like having a, you know, like suddenly having a telescope to see in the deeper cosmos of the psyche, or a light in a cave, a flashlight or a torch in a cave that was dark to us before. So that quite overcame our skepticism, because we had very good records of our various sessions, and at Esalen we had such a great laboratory for research, because people were going through their transformative practices and having very powerful experiences. So we were able to track what was happening in astrological terms as well.
So fascinating journey. Let's turn it back to you, Stan. Like this, the concept of archetypal astrology as a Rosetta Stone. People aren't familiar. Rosetta Stone is a way it helps to facilitate translation between different languages. So in a way, getting at the sort of the deeper language of the psyche and meaning-making structures. And so maybe if you share a little bit about why it's helped to click so many understandings into place for you.
You know, for me, the major connection to astrology was actually through my own work. I started working with LSD, equipped, I would say, very poorly by my psychiatric training and also by psychoanalytic training. And as we were going through the sessions, my understanding of the psyche expanded enormously. I had to add to the cartography of the psyche two vast domains. One of them I called perinatal. Peri means around, and natalis is pertaining to birth. So this was a vast realm in the psyche where there was record of all the stages of birth. And then the second vast area was what we now call transpersonal. And on the perinatal level, I could distinguish four experiential matrices or constellations of emotions and physical sensations that turn out to be associated with the four consecutive stages. And I started calling them basic perinatal matrices, or BPM for short. And I extracted out of people's sessions the phenomenology of these matrices. And then when Rick and I were working on the dissertation, suddenly became very, very obvious that what I described as the phenomenology of the perinatal matrices could have been passages from a handbook of astrology. So the first matrix, when the fetus is still in the womb, in the oceanic milieu, and some of the experiences were opening into the cosmos, and there was feelings of mystical union, form of that pattern was correlated with Neptune. And then the second one is the contraction, the compression, oppression, depression, when the contractions are happening but the cervix is not open. The second perinatal matrix was very similar to the archetype of Saturn. And very fascinating association that you find with the third matrix, which is birth, death, rebirth, powerful energies, and even sexual energy, and also there's the encounter with biological material, so excretion, excrements, and so on. Those all belongs to the archetype of Pluto, and then finally the breakthrough, the opening, sudden unexpected resolution of a very difficult situation, breakthrough, exciting, illuminating insights, divine epiphany, and so on. This turned out to be very, very close to the archetype of Uranus. And so then itself was amazing, because I had no knowledge of astrology when I was just working with the patients and extracting from their experiences these four matrices. And then, as we continued, it became very, even more exciting when Rick discovered that people actually having confrontation with these archetypes, so had these archetypes as part of their transits at the time when they were experiencing these matrices. And then it really became what I call the Rosetta Stone, you know, such a unique instrument for working with non-ordinary states. It was unlike anything that I have ever come across.
Well, Rick, let's go back to you. Fascinating insight, Stan. And this, I'd love for you to share a little bit more for people, like why this moment of birth. So Stan has outlined why the different stages of birth correspond with different archetypes. And that's interesting in and of itself. But why would the birth moment be so seminal in the whole unfolding of a life from that point forward and with the relationship with the planets?
Well, of course, ultimately, it's a kind of mystery. We don't have any direct, at least I'm not a clairvoyantly gifted in terms of seeing into the metaphysical essence of things. But it is quite clear that the positions of the planets at a person's birth at that time, at that place, in that unique configuration, does indeed seem to correlate, not in a concretely predictive way, but in an archetypally predictive way, with the unfolding biography of a person and their not just their personalities, not just their conscious sense of selfhood, but rather the whole gestalt of their life, the kinds of events that that help contextualize their who they are, the kinds of relationships that they are in, and so forth. And so, as to why that would be the case, on the one hand, Stan's research had shown that, you know, quite against his own training as a psychoanalyst, you pretty much are looking at early childhood experiences and postnatal experiences as being really important, like the early nursing experiences, the bonding with the mother, the Oedipus complex, which was Freud's big focus, and so forth. But over and over again in the deep work, both through using various psychedelic drugs and sacred medicines in like ayahuasca journeys and so forth, but also in holotropic breath work or in other powerful experiential therapies, you know, like primal therapy or Reichian, neo-Reichian release, even gestalt therapy, when it's going really deep, there is a tendency to activate a level of the unconscious that goes beyond the postnatal biography and taps into the encounter with both death and the reliving of one's own death and the reliving of one's birth. And that crucial role of the impact of separating from the maternal organism and becoming for the first time an independent biologically and then and gradually psychologically independent organism, and the starting with the first breath of that life seems to be both psychologically critical shaping certain underlying psychological tendencies, emotional, somatic, and so forth, but also the astrological comes in, where it's the birth chart has for thousands of years been recognized as being so reflective of the person. Again, not in a fatalistic way, not in a kind of simplistically deterministic way, but rather when we have a deeper, what James Hillman calls an archetypal eye, a capacity to for symbolic discernment, where you can recognize these archetypal qualities in the multivalent range of ways that they can express themselves, then you come to see these essential principles at work. And I think different, like the way Jung would describe it, he was really the depth psychologist who first kind of alerted the modern world to the power of the astrological perspective. He wrote Freud about it as early as 1911, that he was studying charts, and by the later part of his life, Jung was using astrology with most of his patients. He actually told a young psychiatrist who was then a medical school student, who was a friend of the Jung family. She talked to me once in Switzerland after a lecture I gave, and said that Jung said to her that he was using astrology with his patients. This was in the early 1950s. At that point, with all of his patients, because there was such no other method gave such direct insight into what archetypal complexes would be most prominent in that person and would be most likely to be activated at a given time. So getting back to the birth issue, Jung said he thought that the reason that the birth chart was so helpfully reflective of the whole life had to do with something like the way a fine wine, a vintage wine, comes out of a particular year, a particular kind of vintage that comes from a particular place, the side of that of that vineyard, and so forth, is able to produce that particular kind of wine. And so that was his analogy. Rudolf Steiner, who was more of a kind of clairvoyant philosopher, described it as that somehow we're not born until the cosmos, the macrocosm, is in that position relative to the child and mother, being born, that will reflect in an archetypally appropriate way who they are and what their kind of spiritual karma is for this lifetime. I'm not in a position to assess that statement, but it's an evocative suggestion or indication on Steiner's part of what may be at work, or the relevance of the birth chart.
Well, it's fascinating. I know there's a lot of evidence that you've amassed, particularly in your books, Rick and Stan as well. But let's kind of go to the high level. Like, what are the implications? One of the things that I think is most interesting, something you alluded to, Rick, was that there's a shift. It's a more synchronistic kind of view. There's a interconnected. It's not strictly causal. And maybe Stan, if you could address how this, we've grown up. In a culture that's always looking for kind of linear causality, things bumping into things that cause something else. And astrology points the way to something different about the nature of the universe. I'd love for you to share a little bit about that shift.
It's like the cornerstone, of course, of materialistic science is linear thinking, which is everything that happens as a cause and also some consequences, some effects. And one of the major contributions of Jung was the observation that there exists another connecting principle in the universe, which he called synchronicity. this related to sort of accidental events. We can have very surprising coincidences in life, but Jung's contribution was to define certain situations where it's actually intrapsychic event, like a dream or a vision, that has meaningful synchronistic connection to something that happens in the external world, as if the what we call objective reality is entering into playful interaction with the psyche, which of course should not be happening in a world that's described by monistic materialism. So Jung, when he really, after 20 years of hesitation, presented this to the academic community, because he was aware of the fact how fundamental challenge that is to materialistic thinking, he wrote a very fascinating essay, which was called Synchronicities and a Causal Connecting Principle, and actually used astrology as one of the main examples that the thinking in astrology has to be synchronistic and not sort of linear causality type of thinking. I had the experience of Carl Sagan, who was one of the most ardent skeptics and atheists and so on. He knew that I was interested in astrology, and he said, astrology is a complete hogwash. As I'm standing here, I have more influence on you than Pluto. Now, he was brilliant. So what he was thinking in terms of, my mass and Pluto's mass and the distance and the impact of gravitation and so on, he didn't realize that that's not the kind of thinking that you find in astrology. For an astrologer, it would be preposterous to say that, a person has more influence on me than Pluto. And Pluto, in the largest sense, is related to earthquakes, to volcanic eruptions, to tidal waves. It's an archetype associated with major events in the world. When Rick and I talk about it, we frequently use the example of watches. When I look at my watch and it says 7 o'clock, I can reasonably expect that I find that same situation on, let's say, watches of other people and on clock towers if they have correct time. And I can expect that if I turn on my television, there's going to be 7 o'clock news. If I come to a restaurant, if I previously made a call that I would like to make a reservation for 7, if I walk into that restaurant, they will have a seat for me. So none of these things cause any other. They are all related to a dimension that we cannot directly perceive, which is time. But we can use any of them to infer, what time it is, what we would find in all the other situations. So this is the way I see astrology is working, that what is happening here is on this level is influenced by archetypal dynamics in the way that Plato was talking about forms or ideas sort of forming and informing what is happening here. And the activity in the archetypal world is systematically correlated with planetary movements and also the angular relationships that the planets are taking. So they are more like a clock telling us what is happening in the archetypal world and what kind of energy we would therefore expect in the material world, and more specifically, the relationship of the position of the planets for the world, the collective transits, in relation to our natal chart, then represent our personal transit, which is what kind of specific relationship we have to the planetary situation in the world. So this, in a nutshell, is the kind of thinking that we have to use when we think astrologically. In other words, what it presupposes is to see the universe not as this gigantic clock, like a mechanistic system, but we see it as something more like an organism, something that is created by superior intelligence, and it has a certain blueprint in which the dynamics of the archetypal world, what is happening here, and the movements of the planets are all correlated. So we can use the planets to infer what might be happening in the other areas.
It's a great explanation, Stan, and I love some of the metaphors you're using. So let's go back over to you, Rick, and let's bring this into the current moment and give an example of like the illuminating power of being able to see these synchronistic connections. So right now, for instance, we're in a lot of political tumult in the United States. It's a lot of people, there's a lot of angst around this. And maybe if you could illuminate, how might astrology give us a different lens on that, and how might it connect historically with similar eras?
Sure. This was an area of research that only kind of gradually unfolded for us, because in the beginning we were just focused on individuals and on the individual psychology, their particular psycho-spiritual path. And as I kept looking at the widening circles of the research, it moved to famous individuals like, what did Freud have when he had his psychoanalytic breakthrough, or Galileo when he turned the telescope to the heavens, or Rosa Parks had when she declined to get up from the bus from her seat in the bus and helped catalyze the civil rights movement. And to see that those individual correlations were happening, in these kind of famous paradigm examples, as well as in the kinds of experiences that Stan and I were looking at within the therapeutic context, that was the first kind of widening circle. When we started looking at, well, what about when the planets, especially the outer planets that move more slowly, come into alignment with each other, like a conjunction or an opposition, and those last for several years, and in a sense, in retrospect, what unfolded from the evidence was the recognition that the outer planet movements and their cycles correlated with these enormous archetypal these periods of history that were saturated with those particular those two archetypal energies in a complex synthesis and interaction. So, for example, right now the biggest planetary alignment of our time, it began just slightly more than a decade ago, about 2007, and is going up through about 2020. And this is the big alignment of Uranus with Pluto, the square between those two bodies. And this is the first, that's a 90 degree alignment, which is like halfway between the conjunction and the opposition. And this is the first alignment of those two planets, dynamic, powerful alignment like this, since the 1960s, when they were in conjunction from 1960 to 72. And it happens that Uranus seems to correlate with both in individual experiences and lives, but also at the collective level, with the impulse for change, for radical change, for disruption, for rebellion, liberation, freedom, inventiveness, creativity, but also there's a trickster quality, a kind of unpredictability, impatience with authority, with the status quo, and so forth. And also a strong connection towards the movement, towards the future, towards the young, towards also technological advance. And Pluto, whenever Pluto comes into alignment with any planet, its character is to intensify with like volcanic potency, whatever it touches archetypally. And so quite with remarkable consistency, going right back, for example, to the French Revolution, 1787 to 1798, when they were those two planets were in alignment, or again, the conjunction from 1960 to 1972. Any of us who lived through that era certainly recall its particular character of tremendous social political turmoil, the impulse for freedom, rebellion, psychedelic revolution, women's movement, civil rights movement, independence movements throughout the world, Africa and in particular, one African country after another, empowerment of youth, counterculture, and so forth. So what we're seeing in our period, we knew people who'd been studying astrology for years, as I had back in the 70s and 80s, could see that we were going to be getting another Uranus-Pluto alignment far in the future, 2007 to 2020. And so just looking at the past pattern, the cyclical pattern of those planetary alignments had so closely correlated with these remarkable periods of about, 10 to 15 years of tremendously intensified impulse for radical cultural change, social political turmoil, the drive by the feminist movement, for example, very closely correlated with it, the abolitionist and civil rights movement. And now we see all these things happening during this last decade. And I have to say, I wrote about it in Cosmos and Psyche, among other places, and had finished that in like 2005. I said, well, given the past, the evidence from the past, one would expect to see this coming period as having these various phenomena visible in the collective psyche and in cultural and political history and so forth, social phenomena. And if you just think about, for example, how active politically young people have been during this period precisely, starting with the Obama election. That was the first election that youth was really politically engaged by, and then again in with Bernie Sanders so much in this last election. That was the first time since the 1960s and early 70s when Robert Kennedy, Eugene McCarthy, McGovern, and so forth were running for president. And similarly, just the fact that we had an African-American president in 2008 election, very much made possible by what had happened under the preceding conjunction from 60 to 72. And I'll just add, this is a much more complex phenomenon because the archetypes activate each other going both ways. So yes, Pluto is empowering and intensifying and driving that Uranian impulse towards change, towards freedom, rebirth, etc., moving into a new horizon, paradigm shift. But it's also Uranus awakens or activates in unpredictable ways the Plutonic archetype, which is this kind of volcanic elemental energy related to the third perinatal matrix that Stan talked about. It has to do with, can be like the will to power, the sexual instincts, what Freud called the id. It's the kundalini force at a deeper level. And again, we see this tremendous activation of the will to power, demagogic populism, in fact, the last square that we had of these two planets prior to the 60s was the 1930s. And I have to say, you pretty much, almost every major social phenomenon and political phenomenon of the last decade has been compared either to the 30s or to the 60s. And I'll just remind many of our viewers today that, you know, here among, while on the one hand we have the Occupy movements, we have these this tremendous the activation of, you know, Black Lives Matter, the women's movement, etc., and yet we get Trump becomes president. Just remember, in 1968, at the very height of the counterculture, the anti-war movement and women's movement and civil rights movement, what happens? Nixon wins the presidency. So there's a kind, and also a very strong impulse towards a will to power at that level being activated. And of course, I don't need to remind anybody about the 30s and the kinds of forces that were at work there in especially problematic ways. So there can be a kind of, you know, the counterculture activates the repression, but also, and maybe this is the last point I'll make in this little commentary, and that is, it's important to remember that these archetypes are multivalent. That is, they are capable of multiple ways of enacting them, and the level of consciousness that we bring to it, whether individually or collectively, very much shapes whether we bring forth the more life-enhancing or the more problematic and even destructive potentials, especially when we act them out in unconscious ways.
What a fascinating explanation, and it really sheds so much light on our current situation, and also brings alive how much astrology gives us a pattern language to understand the larger unfoldings of our day. I think that's one of been the most useful thing for me, is a kind of pattern language to see the playing out of certain patterns and cycles in time. So Stan, we also, I think Rick just did a beautiful job in the collective. Let's turn it to the personal side and talk about the usefulness of astrology to navigate particularly challenging times, such as with spiritual emergencies or dark nights of the soul. Just basically how you can start to use this lens as a way to understand our own unfolding dynamic and our own evolution.
Well, I found archetypal astrology very, very useful in three different ways. One is you can do the transits for any period in the past, any period in the future. So if you have somehow dates of experiences that people have, and you have their chart, you can conduct research. You can see that the experiences that they had actually were predicted by the archetypal transits. Another way that it can be done, if people are planning sessions, and this was particularly important for our early LSD work, as I mentioned, because we were working with very difficult psychiatric patients. So it's great to have some kind of idea as to what would be better periods than others for people to tackle some great challenges in their psyche. So one of the things you can do, you can make predictions for sessions. You can try to find out the best possible time for the sessions. And where I found it extremely useful was in what we call spiritual emergency, people who have spontaneous episodes of what I call holotropic states of consciousness, which is non-ordinary states of consciousness that, in my experience, have a very powerful therapeutic impact. They have transformative potential. They have heuristic values, H-U-R, which means you can learn a lot about the psyche, about consciousness, when you work with them and you have those experiences. And then I believe also evolutionary potential. And some people have powerful episodes of these kinds of holotropic experiences spontaneously, you know, without any experimentation with psychedelics or any experiential psychotherapy. And this is a major, major challenge. These people currently are diagnosed as having psychotic episodes, which creates a kind of a ominous situation. The idea when you are having one episode that basically you are prone to some similar episodes in the future, and then it's really unpredictable when it strikes again. Now, I found the archetypal astrology extremely useful in terms of showing correlation with the timing and also the nature of the experiences. You can look at the transits and you can get a sense when this is happening, when it begins, when it culminates, when it ends. But also you get a sense of the nature of the holotropic experience. So this becomes like a very useful roadmap. Instead of telling people, they have a serious mental disease and this can happen anytime, you can say, well, you are involved in a very difficult stage of a process that is transformative, that is potentially useful, and we have this way of seeing the patterns that is unfolding, and we will, if you are interested, we'll work with you. So this is an extremely useful tool for psychiatry in a category that currently is not very encouraging from the perspective of traditional psychiatry.
Yeah, well, there's really nothing else that I'm aware of that covers quite as much ground as archetypal astrology, from the deep personal unfolding to the collective unfolding and being able to see the patterns within that. So it's part of why we're so excited that the two of you are combining forces for this upcoming online program. So I want to spend a little time talking about that now. So we mentioned this at the beginning, but Stan and Rick are going to be teaching a course called Psyche and Cosmos, using archetypal astrology as a telescope into your depths. And that's quite literal. It's like it really illuminates these deeper tectonic forces that we're maybe not aware of on a day-to-day basis, but really shift the ground under which our reality is shaped. And so when we understand those cycles and how they connect with the larger cycles and the larger patterns, it really opens up a whole new world of self-understanding and understanding of the whole. So it's going to be a 7-week program. It's modeled on a course they've taught for quite a number of years at the California Institute of Integral Studies. As we mentioned, it's extremely popular, probably the most popular course there, and has a devoted following, but it's never been taught in a virtual context before. So it's a new experiment and a new frontier for us to have this in the Shift Network and for you. So you're going to be in for a treat if you choose to join. So we'll share a little bit more about it. You can find the details at psycheandcosmos.com. That's P-S-Y-C-H-E, psyche, and spelled out, cosmos.com, psycheandcosmos.com. And as I said, it's going to be a 7-week program. This doesn't require any particular intellectual background or professional background. It's really accessible to anybody who's, from entry level to a deep explorer of the spiritual path, that you'll get value from it because it gives you a new language and a new way to understand the reality in which we move. So another special thing we're going to be doing is we are going to be doing video for each class. Sometimes a combination of some pre-records because of the situation with Stan and Rick's travel. We're going to pre-record some, but also have a live portion of every class as well, in which you can ask questions and dialogue. So, Rick, I'd love for you to kind of give us a bit more of an overview of what people are going to emerge from the 7-week program with, and give us and start us on a tour of the modules, and we can have Stan talk about the later modules.
They'll be all together. Actually, I think it's 8 modules all together. And after an introduction by both Stan and me about the background of the course and of our research and setting the stage, then Stan will give a couple of The next modules will particularly focus on the expanded map of the human psyche that emerged through his consciousness research, because that provided the context, the foundation for us to be able to recognize the value of astrology. I think, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but it's almost as if we had to go down deep enough into the transformative depths of the archetypal psyche inside ourselves, far enough to be able to go through that paradigm shift where one suddenly recognizes that what seemed to be just human realities in our own interior depths was actually related to the interior depths of the whole cosmos, that the human being isn't ultimately separated from the rest of the world as a subject to an object, where we alone have conscious intelligence, purpose, capacity for meaning and value and so forth. But instead, all of these qualities seem to reside in the cosmos itself. And so there was a kind of opening, psycho-spiritual opening, that was crucial to our own capacity to take in this kind of re-enchantment of the cosmos, this recognition that the cosmos was ensouled. So after Stan has laid out that the larger map of the psyche, the death rebirth slideshow, and as illustrations of the sequence of powerful archetypal conditions that people are likely to go through in deep psycho-spiritual work, then I bring in in the next modules a similar setting forth of the foundations of the archetypal astrological perspective, a deeper understanding of the archetypes, the basic forms of correlation, that is the birth chart, personal transits, world transits, the meanings of the planetary archetypes in particular, and their alignments. And then, of course, we'll have Q&A, if not, we'll have Q&A, sometimes a whole module in some cases live, and then in other cases as part of that module. And then in the later section, Stan can talk about in the final modules where we'll do the case history. Maybe Stan, you would like to say something.
Well, we have chosen, a particularly interesting case history. This was a patient who had a criminal record. She had a variety of psychiatric problems, including suicidal depression, a lot of psychosomatic problems. She also had a what's called a tic douloureux, a very, very painful tic. She was court commissioned. She was on parole after 4 years of penitentiary, and she became a multiple drug addict and alcoholic, and was court commissioned because she was cleaning a gun and under the influence of heroin, and pulled the trigger and severely wounded her girlfriend, roommate. So it was quite a difficult case. We had the possibility of running three sessions. In the two first sessions were like many sessions that we see normally, a lot of difficult things from childhood, where there was violence and incest and so on. Very difficult birth. But then in the third session, after about 2 hours of this kind of a quote-unquote usual experience, suddenly demonic energy took up. She spent a couple of hours literally transformed by the spasm and the clawing of the hand and So there was a very dramatic episode that ended up with major transformation, actually a religious conversion. So we have chosen this Casey story because if we say that there is a correlation between what we see in these cases and astrological transits, we would expect some really unique astrological situation to be correlated with this extreme Casey story. So we have chosen that, and we'll spend an hour when I would give you details of the clinical situation, and Rick would then show the astrological correlates of that.
And then we'll have towards the end after that, there'll be a final module where we'll totally address ourselves to the questions and concerns that the students and participants of this telecourse would be interested in are engaging. That particular case history, I think, is especially valuable because it has, even apart from the astrology, it represents some fundamental principles of deep psycho-spiritual transformation and healing. But the archetypal astrological analysis is quite stunning and is also entirely representative of the kinds of the larger body of research that we'll be drawing on and giving indications of throughout the course.
Well, we are super excited to have this program, and I know that it's a world-changing, worldview-changing kind of program, and really opens up a whole systematic understanding that can unfold over decades. It's still something that all of us who have graduated from CIS still use the pattern language of astrology and understand the deeper tectonics of our time and the deeper unfolding of our own personal growth work and spiritual opening. I'll share a little bit more about certain aspects. So first of all, the program is, Rick is right, it is 8 modules. We often do 7, but we wanted to give a little extra time since this is a very imminent duo here. We want to give you extra time with them. So you get not only the 8 90-minute to sometimes 120-minute class sessions with Stan and Rick. They've got a lot of content they want to get across. You also get the Q&A time. You're going to get videos, recordings, as well as audio recordings. So if you want to listen in the gym or do something where you listen in the car, you can also do that to reinforce the learnings. There's exercises and practices you can do at home and engage in deeper inquiry. We have a Facebook community. There's, as I said, online recordings. We actually do PDF transcripts word for word of each class session as well. So you can catch up easily on anything you might have missed or go back and go deeper with that material. We also have a number of great bonuses. Stan and Rick have been very generous. We have a discussion with Albert Hofmann, the legendary discoverer of LSD. This is a video dialogue with Stan, Albert Hofmann, and Tav Sparks, and a special appearance by Hans Giger, who is a Swiss artist who's been particularly adept at depicting some of the this crazier terrain that they can open up in expanded states. So this is that's quite a bonus by itself. We also have 2 audio dialogues with Rick and Caroline Casey called Cosmos and Psyche. Caroline is a wild intellect and amazing soul. She teaches for Shift as well, and that's quite a duo to have the two of them together. We also have an interview with Stan called The Value of Non-Ordinary States of Consciousness for Individuals in Human Society. This is a recent interview with part of our psychology summit, Frontiers of Psychology. There's also a whole video with Stan and Rick called The Use of Archetypal Astrology in Psychedelic Therapy and Holotropic Breathwork, particularly suited for more practitioners. And we have a special bonus that's available only today, and we like to do this as a way to incentivize those of you who want to get motivated early. It helps to sign up early because something starts to shift and open when you make a commitment to your own growth and education and transformation, and it also helps us for planning. So we like to give an extra bonus when you sign up today on the first day until midnight, and that's Gimme Shelter, Weathering the Storm in an Archetypal Cosmos. It's a dialogue between Rick and Matt Siegel. Rick, you want to share anything about that special bonus that's available today?
Oh, sure. This was something that it was a dialogue or kind of an interview with me, as well as a dialogue with Matt Siegel, a very insightful philosopher, also came through the California Institute of Integral Studies. And it is a discussion basically about our era. I mean, I gave a 5-minute overview right now in talking with you, Steve, and our group here about our current era and the archetypal energies that are at work. And I use the Rolling Stones song "Gimme Shelter" and that title in particular as the title for the that evening's talk, because I mean I suppose the metaphor doesn't have to be much spelled out given what we've just been through with hurricanes Irma and Harvey and fires and floods throughout the world, but also give me shelter in terms of the political climate and the sense of great, in a way, a kind of perinatal birth crisis that that in some ways our Earth community is going through, and certainly much of our national politics is also reflecting. So it's a kind of weather report on our time.
Well, imagine that's just totally fascinating. Well, thank you for that extra bonus. Again, that's available today when you sign up at psycheandcosmos.com. A few other things. The program begins on October 3rd. It's going to run at Tuesdays, noon Pacific time. Even if you can't make the live time, we always encourage you to go for it, since you get all of the extra recordings and downloads and transcripts so you can make full value of the teachings and also have access to asking questions during the interim as well. So we've kept this remarkably accessible. We've added a lot of extra bonuses, added extra time with Stan and Rick, and still it's only 3 payments of $109, or you save about 10% when you pay in full at $297. So it's a very tiny fraction of what you would normally be charged for this to participate in it in a graduate school program. So it's making it accessible to a wide global audience, and it's sure to attract some really remarkable souls. So I know there'll be a great community that forms on the Facebook group page, and really a lot of deep inquiry of ourselves and our collective that going forward. So again, you can find all the details at Psyche and Cosmos, PSYCHEAND, Cosmos, COSMOS.com, psycheandcosmos.com. And when you get signed up today, you get the extra bonus with Matt Siegel and Rick Tarnas there. So this is about the end of our hour. It's been fantastic. You two are brilliant and fascinating to listen to. And I know we're really blessed to have this upcoming course as well. Maybe Stan, anything that's still on your heart you want to share with folks who are considering joining the 8-week journey with the two of you?
Well, it's something that I'm very, very excited about, this combination of working with non-ordinary states of consciousness, whether it's with sacred medicines or with holotropic breathwork or some other powerful experiential therapy, and using archetypal astrology as a guide. You know, I really believe that if psychiatry goes in the right direction and moves away from where it is going now, that something like this would be hopefully future of psychiatry. I found it so powerful in comparison to what I've experienced before, both in terms of you know, doing 7 years of training psychoanalysis, and also what I was taught in terms of symptomatic suppression of symptoms through medication. And this is a much more hopeful, much more exciting perspective. And I hope that more and more psychiatrists, psychologists would be taking it in this direction.
Thank you, Stan. Anything, Rick, you want to say, final words about joining you for the 7 or 8 week journey?
Sure. Yes. I think what The reason that this has had such significance in my life and why I and Stan have wanted to share it with others over these years is that on the one hand, the perspective, the method of analysis, it opens up it not only has kind of immediate practical value in terms of self-understanding, and the timing of our sessions, for example, and things like that. That kind of knowing which way the wind is blowing and what kind of potencies are involved, that's all very, very helpful on the individual level. But it also there's another kind of payoff to it, and that is, it's really a kind of opening to a larger worldview, a kind of healing reunion of the human and the cosmic, and a recognition that in some completely unexpected way, unexpected for us moderns, I mean, most cultures have been astrological other than the modern, but in our worldview, astrology, as we've been educated, is really the gold standard of superstition in our culture. And what's emerged for us is it's opened up the recognition that the universe not only is ensouled and has intelligence through and through, it's also in some mysterious way focused on our Earth as a moving center of cosmic meaning, and even on individual beings. I think there's something that's very healing about that reunion with the cosmos, and also a certain sense of the universe's care, which is not a term that you particularly would associate with mainstream conventional cosmology, but is what we come away with year after year with this kind of research is a sense of that cosmic that we're constantly being kind of bathed with the attentions of the cosmos, and that's remarkable in itself.
Wonderful. Well, the two of you offer so much brilliance and so much heart. It's really an honor to work with you. Thank you for today, and thank you for the upcoming program. I know it's going to be quite a blessing to be part of it. Again, folks, you can find all the details at psycheandcosmos.com, P-S-Y-C-H-E and cosmos, C-O-S-M-O-S.com. And it starts again on October 3rd. And you get the bonus with Gimme Shelter when you sign up now. And I'm sure that's going to be very helpful for us navigating our times. So thank you both. And thank you all. Look forward to seeing you in the upcoming program and weathering the storms that come with a lot more grace and wisdom. So thanks all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.